Your word says that the just, the righteous, shall live by faith. And that on the last day you'll raise them up. Lord, we want to be righteous. We want to be just. And we want to live by faith. Though many times it's hard, Lord. It's very hard. But Lord, you are the author of our faith. You are the author of our salvation. You are the one who by your grace gives us the power to do your will. And Lord, your word says you will finish what you started. So let us be just, Lord. Let us be righteous. And live each moment in faith. Faith in you, Lord. That's what we need. You say in your word that without faith, it is impossible. Not difficult, not hard, but it is impossible to please you. We need faith, Lord. We need faith. We need faith in you. We need faith tonight, Lord. To hear your word, we need faith, Lord. To take your word. And like John in Revelation, to eat it. Knowing it goes down sweet, or starts off sweet in the mouth, but in the stomach, it's bitter as we live it out. Guide us by your Spirit, Lord. Give us a portion of Jesus, a portion of yourself to each one of us, Lord. We all need it. We all need you. So guide us, Lord. Guide us in the words that we speak and what we share. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I have some encouragement for you today, tonight. Tonight, still light outside. But got some encouragement from the Lord. Very good encouragement that he wants you to take in and take and run with. And the encouragement is this. We're all going to die.
Amen.
Isn't that good encouragement?
Amen.
Isn't that good encouragement? We're all going to die. Unfortunately, many of us don't believe that. We think we're going to live. And we're going to make sure we live by the things that we do, by the things that we do that may not necessarily be pleasing to God, by the things that we do that maybe doesn't have that faith in God that he wants us to have, that we please him. We are all going to die. Every one of us. Now, I'm not talking about just physically. I mean, that's a given in that regard. But I'm talking about we're all going to die. Every one of us. And it's not just physical. It's, well, there's two ways, actually. There's a death called the second death in Revelation, the lake of fire. That is a death that is a separation from God, as well as the pain of fire, worms eating your body. You know, all that good, wonderful stuff. You like that, don't you, Joanna? Don't want any part of that, of course. But and then there's another way. The Bible says in Psalms that the way of the transgressor is hard. But the word of the saint, the word of the Christian, is my way is hard. My life is hard. I'm the one that's got all the problems. I'm the one that's got everything that's going wrong in my life. And I look at the transgressor, the one that's out in the world, and they're having fun. They're enjoying themselves. They get to do the things that I wish I could do. But we're disagreeing with the Bible. The Bible says the way of the transgressors, those ones that we're envying, their way is hard. Which implies that it's harder than for the saint, for the one that's following God. That's the implication, that the way of the transgressor is hard. But we believe the lie that says, no, the way of the world is the way to go. The way of the world, if we can kind of sneak around and kind of hide from God a little bit and you know how we do. You know, we can kind of get away from God and hide from him. At least in our minds we're hiding from him. And try to do something that would not please God. And I'm not necessarily talking about just gross sin or anything like that. I'm just talking about trying to live your life out by the world standards. Oh, look, this is what they're doing this week. So I'm going to do that. so I can be in with the group, so I can be right with the in crowd. Now, we don't necessarily speak it out or even think it out that way. But how many of us have seen somebody doing something or have something or whatever, and we're thinking, ooh, that would be nice. That would make me happy. I know I've done it too many times. That would make me happy. Why do I have to be a Christian? Look at these guys. They're having all this fun. Nobody to tell them what to do. Unless they have a spouse, but you know, that's, you know. But nobody there to run their lives for them. I'm kind of taking you through some of my thought processes. Being, since I don't have a spouse, I can believe that lie even more. nobody to tell you what to do. Run your life. Nobody home messing up stuff. You know, getting into your things, you know. Who moved that? Where's my such and such? What? Who broke this? Yeah. But we think the transgressor, the person in the world, the person without God, is got it. They're rich. They got that beautiful girlfriend or that beautiful wife or that hunk of a husband or that hunk of a boyfriend, or and they got a nice car and they got a job and they're off to the beach every weekend and they traveled over here and they talked about, you know, their little condo in this place and this get together they had with friends over here, and they had all this good food and wine and beer and all that, their children are, you know, they're, you know, doing great things in school, and all these things are happening, and we believe the lie, and we don't see that those same people that we envy, those same people that we're saying have it all and are doing great, we don't see that the wife just got notified she has cancer, or their children are on drugs or have run away. Yes, they've got the nice car, they've got the nice house, but they're in hock, not just up to their head, above their head, and can barely make ends meet, and they're thinking about bankruptcy. Yeah, they've got that high-paying job, and seems like they're traveling, and they're doing great things, and you know, they always have these great stories, but what they're not telling you is they've got a gal on the side, or a guy on the side, and it's eating them up, but they can't stop. They're overweight. And it's got them just all ate up with condemnation. They may sound great. They may sound, when you're talking to them, they're all happy and bubbly and everything. But yet inside, they're just broken and don't know who to talk to. And we envy them. We envy them. No, the way of the transgressor is hard. Are you liking this encouragement so far from God? Are you like God wants to encourage you and tell you that the way of the transgressor is hard? Now, we know this morning we had worship focused on the cross. Pastor talked about the cross, and even his message, afterwards, focused on or talked about the cross in a more indirect way. And as I was asking the Lord what He wanted tonight, the cross didn't come up, but something, I should say, a little opposite of that. The thing that kept coming to mind was me saying, I want to do what I want. That's what kept coming to my mind. I want to do what I want. I want my way. I want to do the things that give me pleasure. I want to do what I think is right. I want to do what I think is best for me. And I kept asking the Lord, I know that's me, Lord, but is that what you want me to talk about? And then this morning, the cross, and I felt the Lord saying, see, you're running from the cross. You're envying the world, thinking they've got it better, and you're running from the cross. But yet, God says, the way of the transgressor is hard. And I do want what I want. I do. I don't like the cross. I don't. Because in the lie that I have incorporated in my personality, it says the cross is bad news. This cross that God wants you to grab up and take hold of is bad news. It's going to make you miserable. It's going to make your life a living hell. God doesn't care. He just wants you to take this cross and do what he says. And he doesn't care about you. He doesn't care that you have some fun, that you have some happiness in your life. I mean, why can't I divorce my wife or husband for that other hottie over there that God just made just for me? Yeah, until they marry him. Then they wonder where that person went that was made just for them. The cross. In the lie that the world tells us, in the lie that Satan tells us, we run from the cross. I run from the cross. I don't want anything to do with it because all I see, rightly so, is death. Death to what I want. Death to what I, quote unquote, need. Death to what I think is best for me and right for me. But the way of the transgressor is hard. Again, as I was kind of seeking the Lord about this tonight, and he's showing me my heart and how I don't want to take up that cross. I don't want to do it. Because again, that lie is there. That lie that God doesn't love me. So he's making me do these things because he's mean. And that's the flesh crying out. That's the flesh. That's the personality in me that believes that lie. Not only believes it, we live by it. I live by it more than I should. And instead of like the song that we live by faith in God, I live by faith in the world or by what the world can give me right now. Now, of course, I'm the one making all the moves and spending my money and so forth to get what I want right now. But I believe it's the world giving it to me. I believe it's them. But God wants to encourage you that we're all going to die. And the transgressor's way, their life, is hard. It's harder than what God has for you. Jesus says, the narrow is the gate. Or actually says before that. No. All right, Lord. Narrow is the gate. And compressed is another word, but that's a good word. Compressed is the way that leads to what? Life. Yes. Thank you, Tony. Life. It leads to life. Narrow. And before that, he said that wide is the gate, wide is the road that leads to what? Destruction. The transgressor. So you've got the gate, if I can draw a gate. Yeah, don't buy any paintings that I do, okay? All right, here's this gate. It's narrow compared to the wide gate, and I'm going to imply something here, that the wide gate won't even fit on this board. Okay, it's that wide. Okay, it's very wide. But this is the narrow gate. All right. But you know how I see this narrow gate? I see it like that. Big old cross on it that says, die! And I say, oh no, not today. Not today. But that's what it's saying. Die. Narrow is the gate. Die. Compressed is the road. Die. That leads to life. And it's God's encouragement to us. It's Him encouraging us, saying, go this way, the narrow gate, the compressed road. Compressed, meaning that when you get on the road, it's not just a road like a narrow path. It's compressed. It's as you start to walk on it, you're being pushed against. You're being resisted. You can't just, take a nice little stroll. You gotta knuckle down and push through because it's compressing you. You gotta fight against it. Die. The Lord encouraging you. Die through this narrow gate. And it is God's encouragement, because when you think about it, we already said it. What's the result if you go through that gate and die? Life, yeah, life. But we don't see that. We think life is right now in the world. We can touch it. We can, oh yeah, here's my friend over here. And even though he's distracting me, not Yanni, but just as an example, even though he's distracting me and causing me to do things that aren't pleasing the Lord, but oh, he's my friend. He likes me. He loves me. He's, I can't live without him. I've got money in the bank and I got a good job, and so I can go out and party on the weekends and sometimes party in the evenings and I can buy what I want and I can take some trips and I got a nice car and all.
Those days are over.
Yes. You got to die to it. You got to die. You got to die. And God is encouraging us. He's encouraged. He's coming alongside us saying, look, honey. Look, son. Look, my beloved. I do love you. This narrow gate that says die may look like I'm being mean to you, but I'm not. If I didn't do anything to you, if I just let you go your own way, that would be being mean to you. But we don't see it that way. It's just like, does Kayla see that, when you stop her from, going toward the stairs, that she definitely wants to go down, and you stop her? To her, you're being mean, aren't you? And she lets you know by crying or yelling or whatever. But if you let her go, you do that because you love her. But if you didn't love her, you'd say, go ahead. If you fall, break your neck, who cares? Go ahead. See what?
Quick.
Yes, she's very quick. But if you just didn't do anything and didn't love her, she'd go down there and fall, maybe even die or get crippled or banged up real bad. And then, of course, she'd be crying, she'd be hurt. And as a result of you're not loving, you're not caring for her. But by stopping her, which is, you're mean, mommy. You're mean, daddy. You didn't let me, It's God's love that says, come and die. Go through this narrow gate. It's God's love. He's encouraging us. He's encouraging us towards life. Talking about not caring for your child, or the studies are now coming up about this self-esteem, okay? And I'm not saying we don't encourage people, and we encourage them that, to do good and do right, but the way they're taking it to the way extreme, like, okay, I see you got an F on this test. No problem. Good job. Because you tried, or you put your name on the paper, or you're good, it's like, wait a minute. Well, they find that these kids, as they become teenagers, and then they begin bumping up against real life, and real life doesn't say, you got an F, so everything's good. It says, you got an F, you're fired. You got an F, you can't do this anymore. Go away. And then they get angry because everybody's always told them, you're okay, you're fine, you're doing great, you're wonderful. And then reality kicks in and kicks them, and they get angry.
No one left me
Well, that I'm not all familiar with No One Left Behind. Oh, yeah, okay, I see what you're saying. In school, No One Left Behind, in a sense that, yeah, you keep, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, No Child Left Behind, yeah. It's that same concept here, yeah. Even though they're not passing, you still pass them up because you don't want them to feel uncomfortable. You know, their classmates have all moved up to the next grade. You don't want to destroy their self-esteem by keeping them back one grade. Oh, my goodness, they wouldn't survive that. You know? If you what?
If you treat them like that, then you're leaving all of them behind. Because they're not getting the skills they need.
Well, that's true, yes. They're not getting the skills they need, exactly. Yeah. So they get angry, and some of them act out in their anger. They end up, you know, doing crime. Or they end up, you know, assaulting somebody, or a teacher, or a boss, or whatever. All because they were not given any training, any idea that, hey, you can't have everything you want. You got to work at it. You got to do what needs to be done to get what you want in that sense. God wants to encourage us. Matter of fact, let's turn to Jeremiah 29, starting in verse 11. Everybody should know this verse. Everybody should probably have it memorized, at least the first part anyway. It is one that we give everybody, especially young people. You young people, you need it. But so do we old people. 11, starting in verse 11. Yeah. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope. Give you hope and a future." Boom, right there for the youth. God's got plans for you guys. Yeah, He's got plans for you. "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found with you, found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity." God has a plan for you, not only for the youth, but for the adults too, to prosper you, to not harm you. I don't know if that's true or not, because guess what He's making me do? Die and go through this narrow gate. Hey, Joanna. Hey, Christina. I got plans for you. I'm going to do some good things for you. I got good plans for you. Now, I want you to start, get this broom, get this mop, get over here, let's start scrubbing the floor, and let's take out the trash, let's clean the room, whoa, wait a minute, I thought you had plans for me. What do we think plans are?
Video games.
Video games. Well, some people's minds, yes. What do we think plans are? When somebody says, or especially like this, God says, hey, I got plans to prosper you, not harm you. What are we thinking? Everything's going to be cake. Right? Yeah, everything's going to be cake. I mean, He's going to prosper us. We're thinking money. Yeah. He's not going to harm us. Oh, we don't have to suffer. We don't have to suffer. He's not going to harm us. So we don't have to suffer. Nothing bad's going to happen to us. Again, the brain, nothing bad's going to happen to us. But in the next couple of verses, something is implied here. It says, "Then you will call upon me." Now, how many know that when things are going good, everything's going fine, there's no troubles, there's no problems, we automatically just rush to call upon God? I mean, we're just, man, we can't get there fast enough to call upon God. Yeah, I see some heads shaking. No, that's when we start getting in trouble. That's when we start thinking, hey, I'm good. Who needs God? I mean, again, we may not say it out outright, but by our behavior, we're saying, who needs God? Because everything's fine. But then guess what? When trouble happens, big time trouble where, I mean, you're like dreading something. Then what happens? God, where are you? Help me. How could you let this happen? I thought you had plans for me to prosper me and not harm me. And now look at you. Yes, it implies. He says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. It implies that there's going to be trouble because we don't naturally come to God when things are good. But when things are troubling, things have got us turned upside down, then you will call on me, God says, and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me. We don't seek God normally in our stuff when things are going good, but when things are not going good, we do tend to seek him. We will seek him, and then he will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you. So God is saying, yes, I have plans for you to prosper you, to not harm you. But guess what? There's some conditions on it. Oh, you don't like conditions, do you? No, Christina doesn't like conditions. She wants the lollipop without the work. Yeah. God does have plans for us to prosper us. Prosper us how? With money? Big bank account? Nice house? Maybe. Yeah, maybe. But how is he really wanting to prosper us? What's that?
Treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven?
What do you mean by treasures in heaven?
Things that are lasting, okay.
Things of spiritual value, I guess.
Okay. So how does that relate to me and you in terms of prospering?
Our spirit can prosper.
Okay, our spirit can prosper. All right, good, good. Anything else? Yes, Liz?
Well, forming Christ in us and then also bringing us to love, joy, and peace. And hopefully the kind that will be affected by the outside.
Yeah.
Ultimately,
yeah.
Not that I'm there,
yeah.
But that the love, joy, and peace would stay always no matter what happens in the national.
Mm-hmm. Very good, Liz. Yes, yes. God does have plans, and it is to bring us to righteousness, love, joy, and peace. For every one of us. That's how he wants us to prosper. He wants us to prosper in righteousness, in terms of how we behave to each other, in love, how we love one another, how we love God. Joy. How many want joy? I do. How many try to find joy in all the wrong places? All right, yeah. And how many want peace? I do, definitely. Yes, we want peace. God is bringing us to that. He wants to, that's the, if you want to say, the overarching plans that he has for us, is to bring us to joy, to bring us to peace, to bring us to righteousness and love. But then you'll call on me. Getting there through that narrow gate, through that cross that says, come on, die, die. Mean old God that he is. But he's bringing us to life. That's the other thing as well. Life. What kind of life? Live forever for a billion years, right? What kind of life does he want to bring us to? Come on. You know the answer. What is it, Connie? What kind of life? Stop beating on your mom, Jason. What kind of life? Anybody? She knows? Oh. All right. Sir Benny, what did she whisper?
Well,
everlasting life.
Okay, everlasting life. What's another word for everlasting?
Eternal
life, yes. Eternal life, which is a kind of life. Because we're all going to live forever.
It's on the other side of the cross.
It's, eternal life is on the other side of the cross, yes. It leads to life. Yes, that cross, that narrow gate leads to life. Eternal life. God has plans for us. But in our minds, like I said before, we don't like this idea of dying. Our flesh wants to live. We want to live in our own way. In our own way. And God is saying, no, You got to come to the cross. This death, this instrument of crucifixion, this instrument that takes our flesh and crucifies it. That is not something we wake up in the morning and say, oh, joy. The flesh is going to be crucified today. Bring it on, Lord. But that's what we should be saying. Bring it on, Lord. Look at Luke 9:23. God tells us. Jesus tells us. We talk about the instrument of death. God is telling us. Jesus is telling us. Then he said to them all, if anyone will come after me, come after Jesus, come follow him, he will must deny himself, go through the narrow gate, take up his cross, die. How often? About once a week, maybe every other month, right? You know, when it kind of, you know, you're kind of feeling it, you know, then you do it, right? Daily. Every day. So yes, we need to wake up and say, Lord, bring on the cross. Bring on the cross. Not his cross. Whose cross? Our cross. Our own personal cross that God has for us. Take it up. He didn't say, I'll drop it on your head so you get it. What did he say?
Pick it up.
You got to pick it up. You got to take it. We've got to do something here. And then what do? After you've denied yourself, going through the narrow gate, the compressed gate, which means, yes, you're going to be denied some things, and you take it up daily, then what do? Follow him. Him. Jesus. What is Jesus? What else is Jesus besides Jesus? What is he to us? What should he be to us? We mentioned it earlier. What is he to us?
The way, the truth, and the life.
The way, the truth, and the life. What else is he to us?
Bread.
Yes, bread. He's bread of life. Bread implies that we should be eating that bread. Okay? Eating that bread. Taking up our cross daily and following him. Dying daily and following him. And if we do that, we are going towards what kind of life? Eternal life. Eternal life being a kind of life. Not just, well, who knows the definition of eternal life? Does the Bible give us a definition of eternal life? Stan says yes.
Jesus.
Okay, what about Jesus?
He is eternal.
Okay, he is eternal life. True, true, good, yes. But there's actually a definition that spells it out in a little more detail than that. Liz?
I think this is eternal life, that they know me and him who sent me.
Yes. John 17, verse 3. Yes, this is eternal life. This is, I mean, you can't get any clearer than this. It's knowing Jesus and knowing God. Okay? Now, here's the thing. What does knowing mean? What does knowing mean? Because a lot of people know about God. Is that what that knowing means? So what does knowing mean? Loud, Yanni, loud.
Isn't it related to like how King David and Jonathan knew each other?
An intimacy.
That's part of it. Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. And it is an intimacy, yes.
In an intimate way.
In an intimate way, yes. Having buddies. Sort of, kind of. But I understand you, what you're getting at. Yeah. Okay. Intimacy. Yeah.
Like the vine and the branch. So. That close.
Okay. Okay. Good. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, the branch connected with the vine, that kind of intimacy. Definitely. Knowing God. It's more than just knowing about. It's more than just saying, oh yeah, I know there's a God, you know, great, wonderful. But it's a different thing when you say, yes, I know God. Why? Because when I needed him, he came through for me. When I was down and out and brokenhearted, I sought him and he came to me. He listened to me. I could feel his presence. I know he's there. I know him because I've interacted with him. The intimacy there. I mean, the intimacy, the word, you know, literally, you know, in the physical implies, you know, a man and a woman coming together sexually. But the intimacy of God or us with God is so close that we know his heart. He knows our heart. To know God, to know Jesus. If you're one with somebody, are you going to be one with somebody who you kind of, sort of, kind of know? Kind of, you know, we kind of hang out every once in a while.
It's definitely a personal relationship.
But you can have a personal relationship with somebody you kind of know, you know, that you kind of hang out every once in a while. But somebody that you know in this sense is somebody that you spend time with. How often? How often? Huh? Redneck. Oh, we had a redneck in here or something. Yeah, every day. Every day. A close friend. Somebody that's a close friend. You don't just spend maybe once or twice with them. If you can, you spend every day, right? I mean, I know there's some limitations here. I mean, you got home and you got other responsibilities, but it's still that same thing. You're spending time with them. You're asking them, not how are you? Oh, fine. Okay, we'll go on and play this game. You know, close friends don't do that, do they? They say, how are you? And boy, whoom, they start unloading, right? And of course, you saying as the friend, you know, you don't go, oh wait, oh, I got something else to do. You know, see ya. You stay there and listen. Not only do you listen, what else do you do with this close friend who is, you know, sharing what's been going on in their life? You don't just listen with the ear. What else do you do? You give them feedback, don't you? You let them know, I care. I'm with you. Yeah, I know you're struggling. Maybe I can help you. You know, we do more than just say, hi, I'm fine. The same thing. Same thing. So God has plans for us. Plans not to harm us. But yet we go through suffering. He's going to take us through suffering. But it's not going to be like the transgressor. The transgressor's way is hard because what are they lacking? God. They're lacking God. They're lacking, as was said this morning, the redemption that is that we're looking for. That life. Yes, our way is going to be hard as well. But not like the transgressor, because we've got a loving God, not a mean God. We've got a caring God that takes us and says, look, I want to bring you to righteousness, joy, and peace. In fact, he wants to bring himself to you. And John 14:23 talks about, if you keep my commands, if you do what I say, myself, Jesus saying, I and the Father will come and make our home in you. Now, how more intimate can you be than that? When the God of the universe and his Son eventually come to make their home in us. If we keep his commands, if we do what he says, if we walk through the narrow gate and onto the compressed road. Now we think if we're doing all this, we're suffering, we're not getting our way, which is also suffering. You know, if you don't get your way, that's suffering. Now, most of the things you're going to go through in your life as a Christian is going to be, I'm not getting my way. That's the normal. And then as Pastor said this morning, there will be a time where God says, okay, you know, you're going through something a little more difficult, a little harder. But those don't come every day necessarily. The most thing is going to be, I'm suffering because I didn't get my way. I didn't get my way. Oh, Lord, help me. Okay, thank you, Lord. But there's going to be some hard times too. And even in the not getting my way, even some things that are irritating to us or even worse than irritating, and it's happening day after day, we tend to go into despair. We want to, you know, if we're going to follow God, we're following God. We're not going to go the way of the world, but you're getting discouraged. You're getting where you may be even getting close to despair. God doesn't want that. God doesn't want that at all. Here is a man, Jesus, who went through the most horrendous thing in the universe. And before he went to it, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. Praying for what? That God would take it away. God, Father, you know all things. You're infinite. And if there's any way possible for me not to go to the cross, please take it away from me. I don't want to drink this thing. I don't want to drink this cup. Sweating drops of blood. I mean, he was in agony over this decision that he had to go to the cross. Not just the cross in terms of physically being nailed to it, but taking on all the sin of the world and being separated from the Father, which he had never been before. And yet the Bible says, in, so you don't think I'm lying to you. Oh, Hebrews 12:2. Here he is wishing, wanting this cup that he's going to have to drink to be taken away. He doesn't want to go through it, which just says he's not insane. Okay, he didn't want to go and take on the sin of the world. It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the what set before him? Joy endured the cross, scorning its shame, because he was crucified naked, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What was set before him? Joy. He endured it because of the joy that was set before him. What joy? What was set? What joy? What would he be looking forward to if he went through with this cross, trusting the Father to bring him through? No idea. Party at the end or what? What joy would he be looking forward to? Okay. Many brothers. Ruling the kingdom. What would probably be something even better than both of those? Liz?
Pleasing the Father.
Pleasing the Father. But not only pleasing the Father, that's good, but what would be even better than that? Huh? What's that?
Getting resurrected.
Getting resurrected, yeah. What happened when sin came on him? What did the Father do? Turned away. So what would be the joy on the other side?
Fellowship with God.
Back with God. Back in God's presence. Back with him. Yeah. Yeah, the joy set before him. Joy. God will give us joy if we ask for it. He says several places to make our joy complete. John 15:10-12. To make our joy complete. God wants to give us joy now, even in the midst of our plans that he's bringing us through. Even in the midst of our not getting our way, but obeying God and doing what we don't want to do. He says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. Whose joy? Jesus' joy. That my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Complete joy implies that, I mean, it's joy. I mean, even if you're sorrowing, even if you're in difficult circumstances, you can still have joy. One more. 1 John 1:3-4. 1 John 1:3-4. Yes, this narrow gate is there. But God says you can have joy when you're on the path. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. To make our joy complete. Our fellowship. How do we get back to fellowship with God? What does 1 John tell us? When we sin, we confess it, right? And He is faithful to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And He's using this. Well, down in verse 9 is the verse. But the object is to be back in fellowship with God. You can be in fellowship with God and have complete joy. The cross. The cross is encouragement to us. The cross is encouragement. We need to look at it as that. We need to, when we get our dander up and want to do our own thing, and God whispers to us, no, you need to do this. No, don't do that. No, here's what I want you to do. And our body is trying to rebel. The cross says, deny it. Look to God. Look to the joy that God is bringing you to, the plans He's bringing you to prosper you, to make you His own, to come and live in you, to be one with you. And all the other things that go with that, being a brother, ruling. James says, consider all your trials as joy when things are happening. So, Christina, next time your mom says you can't do that, say, joy! Thank you, God. You always do that, huh? So we'll see. We'll get a report, Liz, right? We'll get a report next week and see what happens. Yeah. No. Seriously. God said the only way to life is this way, through the cross. Through the cross. It's His encouragement. I know the world says, you're crazy. But God says, it is encouragement. Jesus encourages us to take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow Him. Because when we do, we come to life, eternal life. And we come to know God and know Jesus as we interact with Him daily, each day. And we have to do it all by faith. We can't read the words and say, okay, I'm going to do it. Christina wakes up in the morning and says, okay, I'm going to do everything Mama tells me to do. And then the first thing Mama tells her to do, no. Now, she probably doesn't do that. Well, Liz, okay. She says no, you know. But yet, she woke up with all this great intent. I'm going to do what Mama says. But then as soon as she says it, something rises up in her and says, no. So we realize we can't do it self. We can say, God, I want to do it. Help me do it. But God's going to have to do it. But He's going to do it based on us obeying Him. Based on His obeying. So when Christina says no to Mom, and then Holy Spirit kind of convicts her, then she realizes, okay, sorry, Mom, I shouldn't have said no. Yes, I'll do it, and forgive me, and repent and all that, right? Of course, right? Yeah, okay, good. And the next time, because God's working in her now, because she's confessed it, she's turned away from it, she says, that was wrong, God help me, because she can't do it herself, because she tried to, and it didn't work. So the next time, Mom comes and says, Christina, can you do such and such? And instead of Christina saying no, even though it kind of getting close to the throat up there, but God helps her, and she doesn't say no, and she screws up her face, and she, okay, Mom, I'll do it. Well, guess what? You didn't say no, did you? And God helped you. And as long as we keep going back to God and say, God, okay, it almost came out, God. Help me. Help me. And so eventually, God working in us, every time Mom asks you to do something, yes, Mom. When do you want it done? How well do you want it done? How much do you want it done? Give me more, Mom. Liz.
I was going to say, every time that happens, then eternal life is created.
Exactly. Right. When you confess the sin, you repent, yes, eternal life is created. Exactly. As she walks this narrow road, this compressed road, which is what she's doing when she's resisting the sin to say no, yes, eternal life is given. It's a blessing. And then you get more of it and more of it. Yeah. Okay. Righteousness, joy, and peace. To have faith in God. You got to have that faith that God is going to do it. We got to obey. We got to do our thing. And when we mess up, we confess it. And we ask God to help us. But then we trust God is going to make it happen. I know He's done that in my life with one situation. I can tell you, I still got a long way to go. But in one situation with a co-worker years ago, God changed my heart so that I didn't get irritated at that person anymore. Because I used to get irritated all the time. And it was, you know, and then I said, okay, God, you're going to have to help me. And He did. It took a few months, but it was going back to God each time, to the point where all of a sudden this person, you know, would ask her question, you know, how to do something that I told her 1,000 times how to do. And she would ask it, and nothing happened. I said, sure, I'll help you with that. And then it was like, whoa, something happened here. There was none of that resentment was there, none of it. I was like, thank you, Lord. But it was a daily going back to the Lord every time that came up. Lord, help me. I confess my resentment. I confess how I feel. And then, of course, after that happened, a couple of months ago, she retired and left. I'm like, how come you couldn't do that 3 months ago, Lord? Because I had to go to the cross. The cross, deny myself. And doing that was going to God for help to do it. And He did it. Now, I just say that as an example because I still got a long way to go, a lot of other stuff to deal with. But that's how the cross is an encouragement. Denying myself, taking up my cross and following God, looking to Him. And He made the change in me. Amen? The narrow gate, the compressed road, is an encouragement if we take it by faith. And God will give us joy in the daily working out of our life as we walk that compressed road, following after God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know in my life that I want to do it self, Lord. I want all my comfort. I want all the things that give me pleasure and things that I think I can't live without. But it's just the flesh talking, Lord. And sometimes I look at your cross as misery, as not looking out for me, as you being mean. But it's the exact opposite, Lord. You want to bring me to life. You want to bring all of us to life, eternal life. And the only way to get there is through the cross. Jesus, who is our example, went to the cross. He overcame. He overcame the world by the power of the Father. By the Spirit. And He's looking to us and saying, come, come, my beloved. I overcame the world. Now I want you to overcome. I have plans for you to prosper you, to not harm you in a way that's going to give you eternal death, but to give you life, eternal life. Come. And Lord, help us as we respond to the Lord. But we see that narrow gate and we see that cross and we see that uninviting, compressed road that we have to start walking down. Help us to have our faith in God, in Jesus, that He's going to be with us and bring us through and give us joy as we go through it. so that on the other side, just like the joy that was waiting for him, we'll have the same joy. We can look to it. We can look forward to it and persevere. Part of the scripture says we persevere, develops character. And we know that. That's how come we go through boot camps and other schooling and so forth to get training. Because we know if we persevere through the training, we get character developed in us. But the Bible goes on to say that it leads to hope. Hope. Hope in you, Lord. Faith in you. Faith that you will bring us through. Faith that you will provide us with joy, that you would make the change just like you did with that coworker at my work, Lord. As I look to you each day, as I denied myself to want to give that tone of voice saying I'm not pleased with you asking me for the 100th time. And look to you, Lord. You eventually took that out, whatever that was reacting towards her, to that coworker, to the point where it was like, no problem. What do you need? Yes, I'll help you. And not just I'll help you in a sense of, okay, I'll do it and I don't feel irritated, but in a sense of I'll help you and I'm liking it. I'm liking to help you. Only you can do that, Lord. So help us, Lord. Help us to take up our cross. Help us to deny ourselves. By your guidance, by your spirit, and to follow you. And Lord, remind us to ask for joy. To ask for joy so we can do it without being beat down, without being in despair, but to have the joy of knowing that we're going to be in your presence and we're going to have your presence and we're going to have many of the rewards that are mentioned in your word, Lord. Give us strength, Lord. Help us to come boldly before your throne, to ask for help, to walk this narrow road, this compressed road, to take up our cross. Thank you for the encouragement of it, Lord. Thank you for the encouragement of it. To look at the cross as an encouragement, to move on in you in righteousness, going for the goal of righteousness, joy, peace, love. Lord, I ask your blessing upon each one here, Lord. I pray that a portion of Jesus, Lord, integrated into us, Lord, a portion of your virtue that will make the change in our personality, that will motivate us to not give up, to fight, and not run away or turn back from the cross that you present to us. Bless you, Lord. Thank you for what you do in our lives. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. And thank you for the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.